To the book of Corinthians, chapter 14. First Corinthians, chapter 14, and verse 40. I want to address this morning the need or understanding God's divine order. Why we need the Holy Spirit to bring order. But a passage of Scripture that is probably used in many ways is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Although he is addressing the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit, it also is true in many regards and levels of life. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I'm not going to deal with the use of the gifts in the church and how they need to be done in order. But I want to deal with it in general, that God is a God of divine order. Now, would you please turn to the book of Revelation? How many don't like being wrong? I found out I was wrong in something. And I'm sure there's many other places I'm wrong. And I hate being wrong. I have always been, and I probably have even made comments, that when the Lord addressed and spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, I have been of the persuasion, and I think I figured out where I got that, that the first thing that God said to each church was, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." But that is not true. He said that at the end of his instructions to the church. Perhaps the reason I came to the misunderstanding was because at the end, where he would address it, and then he would say, "He that has an ear, let him hear," I would take that verse as he began to talk to another church. I had the order wrong. And there are several biblical reasons. For instance, if you take a look at Revelation chapter 2, he says unto the angel, verse 1, of the church of Ephesus, write these things. The first thing he said to each church was, "I know thy works and thy labor." But at the end of him giving instructions to the Ephesus church, he then says in verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I would take verse 11 as his beginning to speak to the church of verse 12. "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write." So, is order important? Yes, it is. So why is it important that he said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says," at the end? Is that important rather than the beginning? I'm sure it is. We're aware that there is order in God. In the book of Genesis, when it starts off and it says, "In the beginning God," and you find that the world was in chaos and without form. What that means, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and those that quote Greek and Hebrew are not either. They just are quoting people who are. But it means that in the beginning, we know that the world was in disorder, and God brought order, because God is a God of order. How many have ever heard the expression, you know, they hype it up on TV, you're out of order! A court proceeding. God brought order to creation because it was out of order. Order means there's some things that go first and there's some things that go second. So why does God say to the church at the last, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And when I realized that, well, I've been out of order. I had the timing wrong. I called a minister friend of mine that we often bounce thoughts off, and I wanted to get his thought on it. I said, have you always preached that he that hath an ear, let him... I said, when was that? Was that at the beginning of the... when he addressed the church or the last? He said, well, it's the first. I said, aha, you're wrong. I'm not the only one wrong. And so when I explained to him, then he made the comment. It was, we were bouncing around. He said, well, what difference does it make? He said, when I talked to my kids when they were growing up, I'd say in the middle, I'd say in the beginning or in the end. Now, are you listening to me? But as I began to pray over this matter, I wondered, does it make a difference of when he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. And I don't want to read something into this that's not there. You know, there are people that make conspiracies about everything. If something happens, the normal news, and then there are those that will always spin it, well, you know, that's not the true story. There's a conspiracy going on. And they make a conspiracy about everything. And then on the same token, to be fair and balanced, there are those that believe everything they hear. And sometimes there are conspiracies. So each case is different. Having said that, before I really dive into is it important when he said it, and it is, I want us to look at Scripture and realize there, because God is a God of order, he does some things first, and we know that in creation there was order out of disorder. He had a certain way of about bringing order. He first made light and made the earth and made the water and the vegetation and then made man. There was a specific order. Had he made man first without the other thing, Adam would have gulped for air and no air. And God said, oh man, let me redo this. God had everything prepared. As we read in 1 Corinthians, we realize we need to have order in the home. We need to have order in the church. We need order in society. We just need things done right, and if they're done right, they will be in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, we read, let all things be done decently and in order. Church order is an interesting topic the Scriptures address. It also mentions that in 1 Corinthians 7:17. In 1 Corinthians 11:34, here's what it says. There was disorder the church was having about the communion and the eating, etc. And Paul is trying to bring order. He says, 1 Corinthians 11:34, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. He knew there were other things that were out of whack. Paul said, I'm going to set that in order when I get there. 1 Corinthians 14:23, Paul writes to this church that had a lot of disorder. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together and into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? So he's trying to bring order. I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes, like he did on the day of Pentecost, and everybody's talking in tongues, that's order. I have no problem with the Holy Spirit moving. Sometimes messiness is in order. And many revivals often were messy. But when God moves, it can often be a mess. But that doesn't mean it's out of order. That's order. And but in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, we read these words, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders." You need some leadership. "In every city, as I had appointed thee." So God, when creating everything, he did so in an orderly manner. He first created this, and then he created that. And as I mentioned, there needed to be a something you do first, something you do second, and then man. In sports, boy, those Giants, they spanked the Dodgers real good the first game of the series, 9-0, and then last night they got spanked almost twice as much, 17-0. That's disorder. It's in order when we win, but even in baseball, there is an order that coaches know they'll try to follow to win. Your first batter is usually one that has a better chance of getting on base. And then your third or fourth batter are usually those that are what they call cleanup batters. They have a better chance of bringing that runner that's on base home. And a coach will wisely know his team and put things in order that your chances of winning might be better. And something I've learned about God is a God of order in many ways, in many levels. The scripture makes a very interesting comment in Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 9. After Jesus rose from the dead, it says, here's how it reads. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. That wasn't by chance. There's a reason why he went and appeared first to Mary Magdalene, who had earlier had 7 devils cast out. There's reasons why God does something first and then second and then third. Charles Spurgeon, in his devotion Morning and Evening, he addresses this and says there was a divine reason why he appeared unto her first. When you often observe the ways of God, he does things in order. Order is all around us. The Bible talks about Jesus told the disciples to first go to the Jews and then the Gentiles. There's a proper order. Even in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, you will find order in everything. In Proverbs 15:33, the Bible says, "Before honor is humility. You must grow downwards that you may grow upwards. For the sweetest fellowship with heaven is to be had by humble souls." This order of honor, if you want honor, you need to humble yourself. You can't get honor without humility. Even the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses proper order. When the Bible said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," there must be something you do first before God does something second. Now that I think of it, I wasn't aware, but I can see the connection. God waited for Moses to turn aside before he spoke. And sometimes God is waiting for you to make a move before he makes a move. There's a divine order. When the scripture says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," there must be a not trusting in ourselves, not strong in myself, in order for me to have trust in him. Because if I trust in myself too much, I'm not talking about confidence. I'm talking about there is a proper order. Jesus said, except you become converted and become as little children, you will not really advance in the kingdom of God. He isn't saying you need to be childish, but you got to do this first in order for the second thing to come about. There's some things that have to happen first for the second thing to happen. You want to have an interesting Bible study, just take a concordance and look up the word first. And my, it opens up to a whole range of things. Things that you got to do first before the second thing will happen. Order is an interesting truth taught throughout the Bible in many ways throughout life. In Genesis 29:26, it is a story of Jacob who fell in love with Rachel. And it was the custom that you would go to the father and ask for him to give away his daughter. Jacob did. He's following protocol. And Jacob goes into a tent with someone that he believes is Rachel after apparently the wedding. And he wakes up and there's Leah. And I believe the Holy Spirit bleeped out what Jacob really said. Because Jacob wakes up and sees Leah and says, "How did I get you?" And he goes to his father-in-law and says, "Would you give me Leah for?" And the father-in-law said, because that's the proper order. It was a custom and a cultural thing that the eldest must be married first before anyone else. And you have to be married to Leah before you can have Rachel. So he had to work 7 more years in order, some say 14, some say 21, but he had to work 7 more years, at least we know, so he could get Rachel, who he loved. But if we would win the second, we must secure the first. The custom was that the elder must be married first. And this custom reveals the truth found in God's heavenly kingdom. You'll find Jesus mentions order, proper things, what are first and second. Jesus said, if you have aught against someone, you're upset, you've got bitterness, and you go to church and you want to go down to the altar, Jesus said, no, don't go down to the altar. First, be reconciled unto thy brother. And once you clear up the matter, then you go to the altar and you offer your gift. Jesus says, if you're going to go to battle, you first count whether you got enough soldiers. If you're going to build a house, you first sit down and see if you got enough to finish the project. And Order is so important. We get things out of order, and then we have chaos. You can't have peace in your heart if you get things out of order in the things of God. The cross must be carried before the crown can be worn. Do we desire a hope of reward without labor? The scripture says that it encourages, let everything be done decently and in order. Do not be so vain or think that we are so important that we can avoid this heavenly rule and principles taught. And may we dismiss the idle expectation to think that we can bypass order, the simplest things. Before salvation, there must be repentance. No repentance, no salvation. Before you receive, you must give. We want to receive before we give. That's why the Bible talks about getting order in your life. It says on the first day of the week, we're to honor God. And you go to church on Sunday. That's order. And when you put the proper order in place, then you'd be surprised how things will work out. It says that we're to give the first tenth unto God. That's order. And therefore, when you give, you say, that don't make no sense. But you give the first tenth to God, proper order. Then he will make the nine tenths go farther than the ten tenths. But that's a step of faith, but it is still order. We must do some things first. And before salvation, there's repentance. I've seen the church get order out of whack. There's a church that will baptize babies. It's out of order. Doesn't do any good. You might as well just be giving them a bath. You only baptize when there's been repentance. Now, if the child is old enough to understand and have a conscience and ask Jesus into their heart, then yes. But you only get baptized when you have received Christ. And by the way, if you have received Christ, I want to speak order into your life. You need to come to me and say, Pastor, I've received Christ, but I haven't been baptized. Now's the time for you to come, and we need to have a good baptismal ceremony, as the scripture says, but to put things in order. We must first empty ourselves before he can fill us. We like to sing about, there shall be showers of blessing, showers. Before the showers of blessing come, the prayers of faith must go up. One, as I mentioned, now that we've established the need of proper order in all things, then why does the Lord say to listen what the Spirit says to the churches after the instructions are given rather than before? I don't know. I even asked the Lord, and the heavens did not part, and say, this is why. I can speculate. How many know that the last words that you hear from a loved one that passed away seem to carry more weight? Boy, I remember the last thing I did with them. Maybe the Lord wanted them to recognize the most important thing. And as I was discussing with my friend, he said, well, you know, Jesus said at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, the best wine is saved till the last. So does that mean that these words are the most important words? In my opinion, yes. So did he save the best words for the last? It makes sense, but I'm sure that God, in his wisdom, knows why he does some things before he does others. But as I began to study God's order, and I began to see it everywhere, I think, boy, God, just help us to cooperate with the order. I came across something that thrilled my soul. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. That is true if you are a child of God. That is true if you have put God first in your life. Because what did Jesus tell us to seek first in life? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you'll do that, you don't need to be concerned about the things that you were concerned about. You mean it's that simple, Pastor? It really is. He said, the Gentiles, they worry about these things, and we do. We worry about material things, this and that, and other things. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, this is the most simple, elementary truth, but the most powerful. If you will put God first, all your problems and needs will be met. Do I believe that? I really do. I've watched it for over 45 years. It can't be that simple. It is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's God's order. But what I found out about God's order with His people, I thought, that is so simple and powerful. When it comes to God dealing with you, if you have asked Christ into your heart and you are putting Him first, do you know this is the promise that God has made that He will do with you? Now, don't say you're putting God first if you're not putting God first. You say, well, God knows my heart. He knows your heart by your actions. But if you're putting God first, then everything will work out in your life. It really will. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what problem you're facing. I don't know what is stressing you and bugging you and can take away your peace and your joy. But I want to say, upon the authority of God's word, if you'll just put Him first, everything will work out. That's the promise to the believer. That's the promise to the Christian. And here's what it says. It says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day when he comes. Here's another one that is so fundamentally simple. All things work together for what? Good. To them that love God and are called according to His purpose. What does that mean? Well, we're called to repentance. We're called to Christ. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you have repented of your sins, and if you have asked Jesus into your heart, and you're doing your best to put Him first in your life, then everything in your life is going to work out. How can you say that, Pastor? Because of what God's Word says. And it just simply means that. I want you to think what has been bothering, been eating, been troubling, been... Listen, that's why I don't have to have some great, deep, theological for your need. We're not smart enough. No preacher is. No man can get the glory, but He gets the glory when you will put Him first. That is so simple. Every need you got, every problem you got, it's going to work. God's going to take care of it if you'll just put Him first and love Him. Jesus said, when they said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, first, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. That's the first great commandment. He said, you do that, everything else is taken care of. He said, the second's like the first one. Love your brother. In these hang all the law and the prophets, and everything's taken care of. I want to go back. I don't have some deep, deep thing that go, oh, wow, that'll solve my problem. Uh-uh. God's not going to let a preacher have something like that. He's going to put it in this. Put God first. Love him with all your heart. Everything will be taken care of. It will. I need something deeper. I'm a deep person. No, we're not going to give you something to satisfy your ego. Nor will he give the preacher. It's that simple. I want to repeat that over and over and over again. All things work together for good. Can I just say to you that your problems are going to take care of themselves? God will solve them. He will. You say, well, what do I got to do? Love him. Put him first. That's putting him first. Proper order brings peace. Proper order solves it all. You know, there's a story in the Bible that really identifies with what happened to me in searching for this truth, trying to figure out why did he say it the last rather than the beginning. I stumbled upon a greater truth. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a man by the name of Saul. He was the first king of Israel. But one day, Saul's father, by the name of Kish, lost his donkeys. And he said to Saul, go find my donkeys. Saul got his servant or armor bearer, and they went looking for the donkeys. Where do you look for a lost donkey? I don't know, but they went looking. They must have had some idea. But in the searching for the donkeys, they stumbled across something even greater than the donkeys. Guess what they found? Samuel the prophet. Samuel the prophet was much greater than the donkeys. In my seeking, why God said it last, I came across this truth that I've known. I just needed to be reminded of it again. If I'll put God first, everything will work out. It's that simple. Are you putting him first? We often concentrate on the problem first. And I understand that, but whoa, back up just for a moment. Stop. Are you putting God first? Because if you're putting him first, we have the promise and the assurance that it'll all work out. And so in me seeking that one truth, I came across studying God's order, and I learned that he says, if we'll put him first, everything will take care of itself. Isn't that simple? Isn't that just so simple? It is that simple. Love God with all your heart. Put him first. Everything will work out. And I don't know if I believe that. Well, you're not putting him first, because if you put him first, you'd be believing him and trusting him. I'm done. But it's that simple. It is that, it's that true. We need to do things in the right order. On the authority of God's word. Put him first. It'll work out. It really will. I've seen it 100 times. What happens is we don't put him first. And the problems, some of them get solved, some don't. But for every child of God, We have story after story after story after story. The end always comes not for the unbeliever, not for the man that doesn't put him first. You put him first. It came true for Abraham. It came true of Isaac and Jacob. Look at the end of Jacob's life when he thought, all these things are against me. But he kept just following, serving God. And wow, the end of Jacob's life was incredible. The same with Joseph. Yes, I'm not saying you won't have trials and problems, but if you put him first, he always solves it. It was true of Job. It's true of David. It was true of the disciples. It's true of every believer. Just put him first. Pastor, you're repeating yourself to the point it's annoying me. If you have aught against a brother, put him first. Keep love in your heart. Get to the place where you're so full of God, you won't be offended. Do you get offended about everything? You need a lot more of God in you to where offense, as Jesus said, will come. But oh, when there's health, you won't be offended as much. How do you get that way? I've been working on it ever since I've come to the Lord. But I know the more I have God in me, the less things affect me. And the more I have put him first and keep that love relationship alive, I have peace. He works things out. He really does. This is good counsel. But that's what God said in his word. And oh, may we get the order right. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and sometimes we want to know things we shouldn't know. I hope I learned it. I'm embarrassed to tell you this. Don't think less of me when I tell you this. But when I was 18 years old, got in and started serving God. At the Oak Beautiful Gospel Lighthouse, there were these two girls from the north up in Modesto that came and were visiting, had relatives that attended our church at the Oak Beautiful Gospel Lighthouse, and someone hooked up a blind date for me and Bill Long to go out with these two girls. How many know Paul said that when I would do good, the evil is present with me and there's a battle? My little devious mind and my insecurity was nervous about going out with these two girls. So I devised this ungodly plan. I got a little tape recorder, and I had it underneath my seat. And I told Bill Long what we had planned to do. I was so insecure, I didn't know if my date would like me or not like me. So we pulled into a gas station. Bill Long's in the front right, I'm in the front left, two girls are in the back. We pulled into a gas station, and I wanted to know if mine liked me. So I reached under the seat and I turned it on, and then I said, Bill, I need to go into the restroom and we'll get some gas. And I said, we'll be back in a little bit. Oh, you're coming alive now. And we get out and we go into the restroom. And we're sitting there like girls do. Girls always got to go to the bathroom in pairs. So we're in the bathroom and we're high-fiving each other, giving them enough time to talk. We come back. We get in the car and we go to the pizza place. We get to the pizza place and I said, Bill, did you notice that sound in my engine? You're a good mechanic. Did you hear it? He said, I did. I said, well, could you come back and check it a little bit? He said, sure. We run back out to the car. As they're sitting down at the pizza, I wind back that recorder. I push play, and you can hear what I say, and then the car door shut. And you hear a little giggling. And then my date talks to Bill's date and says, And they actually said this. What do you think they're doing? The other said, I don't know. And then Bill's date says, what do you think of your date? And she says, I don't like him. He just doesn't, you know, really do much for me. She said, what do you think of your date? She said, I like him. I looked at Bill, I said, oh, this is going nowhere. Oh, no, he said, play it more. It just so deflated me. I wish I'd have never done that. I learned something I didn't want to know. And how many know that's, I was out of order. And you don't go at things that way. What a dumb illustration to end this sermon in. But I say that. Please put God first. Get in order. Get in line. And you watch how things will work out. They will. You put him first. You'll have problems. But the peace that you can get in the midst of the problem. And he does solve it. He does. You say, I don't know how he's going to do it. That's him. He's God and he knows how to be God real good. If we'll just do what he said, put him first, get things in order. You know what? There are no answers. A pastor cannot counsel someone and solve problems for them if they don't put things in order. It don't work. You're going against everything. You can do the right thing in the right situation, but there's a God that won't allow things to come your way because he controls everything. Put him first and watch what he does when you do. Put him first. First be reconciled unto thy brother. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first. And things just fall in place. They do. Let's stand. Father, your word declares that the way is so simple that even a fool does not need to err therein. We've looked for deep answers to what we feel is a deep problem. And yet, Lord, we have not been made and designed to where we're smart enough to figure everything out. But you have made us with a will and a free choice that we can put you first. And when we do, we have the assurance that all things work together for good to them that love God. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit can speak to each one just to put you first. Not only in our words, but may our life back up and our deeds, what we say. For not the hearers of the word of God are justified, but the doers. Lord, I just pray that you would minister this truth to us if we'll put things in order. My, what miracles we will see. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Tell your neighbor to burn their tape recorder.